Good evening, White Sox fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Future Sox Podcast, Hot Takes and Heaters. The date today is January 28th, and we are nearing, we're basically nearing spring camp here. And the White Sox have had a very interesting and exciting offseason. My name is Danny Miller. My co-host, as always tonight, is the illustrious Jacob Thome. How you doing tonight, Jake?
Hanging in there. I think that's my answer every freaking week, but
that's what we're going with. You're a busy, busy man. I get it.
Yeah.
You know, I know you. You spent some time with Todd Welter of Locked On Sox yesterday. If our listeners and our viewers have not had an opportunity to check that out. They had a great conversation, talked about, Dominguez. They talked about Chris Getz. They talked about the, you know, overall offseason outlook and, kind of where the money is going and, you know, just the general direction of things. If you guys are into that kind of thing, it seems to be pretty much the big subject of the offseason so far this year. Go check that out. I thought Jake had some really interesting points as well as Todd, so.
Appreciate it.
It was a good show, dude. I think you guys nailed it. I watched it. I thought it was very interesting, and it highlighted probably pretty much the way I have felt for the better part of the offseason. I know I've made some of my takes I've been a little more verbal about certain takes than others, and I have my reasons for that, but I just want to put it out there that when I piss and moan about the Robert trade, it has nothing to do with trading Luis Robert or picking up Luis Angel Acuña. Just about where we stand after 45 plus years of ownership under Jerry Reinsdorf, and it ends there. So, if you guys caught the tweet that I put out this evening, we are going to have a special show tonight, and we are bringing on a special guest. It is Future Sox's rising star. He is one of our, he's one of the bloggers. He's been featured on a couple of the podcasts already. This kid's pumping out amazing work, amazing written content. Fairly regularly. And what I'll say about this is, Future Sox, what it lacks in quantity as far as some of the other outlets just throwing stuff out there every day, our guys that are writing for us are putting together quality. And Adrian White is a big part of that here as of late. So we're just going to go ahead and give a nice warm welcome to Adrian, and we're going to go ahead and bring him in right now. Oh, boy. That's not. Ooh. Here we go. I got you, buddy.
Nope.
You no, do we're going to fix this. Technical difficulties.
I'm big.
There you go.
You are big.
He's in the corner.
I'm not really quite sure.
Nobody puts Adrian in a corner.
Sorry about that. Apparently Danny does. That's on my end.
We're going to fix this. Don't worry, bud. I apologize for technical difficulty, guys. Well,
thank you guys for having me. I appreciate all the really kind words. It's been really awesome being a part of Future Sox and everything like that. And, love listening to you guys and everything. So happy to finally be a part.
Oh, come on now. My window. Here we go. Nope. You don't want to work on me today, huh?
We need the Jeopardy theme song. This is what we need to fill this. There you go. Good old technical difficulties.
Can you guys hear me?
We can hear you.
Great. Oh, it's basically my ridiculous self for not being prepared for having your window chopped up and put in. But,
I mean, I'm here, you guys. As long as you guys can hear me, I guess that's good for podcasting at least.
Well, while I'm doing this, Jake or Adrian, why don't you go ahead and let our audience know who you are? Tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us a little bit about how it came to be for you to cover baseball and your journey here at Future Sox.
Yeah, so about a year ago, I guess right around this time, Todd Walter, who Jacob was just on with, he had an advertisement on the 108 about adding writers to Southside Showdown. So I've been, you know, an enjoyer of Future Sox for a long time, and, you know, a lot of the other podcasts, because I think, like, White Sox especially do a really good job of, you know, covering it, especially. And, you know, I really got really into it. You know, started doing articles for them, and then James had reached out and wanted me to get a little bit more involved. And, you know, since then, I've been helping out with social media, I've been helping run the Twitter a little bit, and moved all my stuff over to Future Sox eventually. And, you know, really excited to finally be a part of everything. You know, I've really enjoyed all the content that Future Sox has been pushing out for a long time. So I'm really, really happy to be a part of it.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Jake, did you have something to say?
Yeah. So, I mean, you've been really involved with everything. I mean, you know, what have you kind of taken away from this off season? Is obviously we're what, 7/8 of the way through the off season here. And what's been your biggest takeaway, and what are you excited for the season?
I definitely didn't expect, like, I guess the volume of good moves, if that makes sense. I expect a lot more underlying moves, if that made sense, like the Murakami and the Sir Anthony Dominguez. I don't know if I expected us to be, like, in that realm of free agency. So it's really nice to be kind of in that realm of excitement. And, you know, like I think we tweeted on Future Sox the other day, Jeff Passan and Feinsted had tweeted out that we were a part of, like, the breakout teams potentially, or teams that have had won the offseason, which I don't think I would necessarily characterize it like that. I think when they write articles like that, they more mean, like, in the perception of what you were expected to do. And I think in that sense, yeah, I think this offseason has definitely been a win in my book.
Huge shout out to Wolf Larson. I want to get this real quickly. Hot take: McDougal will grab a rotation spot and keep it all year, much like Shane Smith did. Go Sox! Thank you, Wolf. Yeah, love the take. I think he's a guy who can certainly make the rotation of camp. I think you start looking at this rotation, and there's certainly some interesting pieces there. It's kind of a cluster of players who kind of are going to either make it out of camp prospect wise, or going to return from last year in terms of, like, Sean Burke, Davis Martin, some of those guys. But Danny, I'm not mildly impressed. I'm very impressed with your computer skills here. You are almost,
you know what?
Almost
you
there.
You can shove the sarcasm right where the sun don't shine.
I was being so serious.
I am doing this on a laptop with
the
laptop mouse. I do not have an actual standalone mouse, so. This is it's a little interesting. Would have been a lot easier if I actually had my remote mouse, but I don't. So you know, it is what it is, man. We're gonna make it work one way or another.
I think it looks good.
I mean, I guess that's about as good as it's gonna get.
That's, we're
gonna
go with that.
You're gonna be double nameplated tonight, and we're just gonna work with that. So
go follow, man, I guess.
You know, always interesting here at Future Sox. You know, not to run over old stuff, but Ian and I, you know, obviously started working together. I mean, it feels like ages ago now. Yet at the same time, it feels like just yesterday. But Ian and I started working together with a group called the Chicago Dugout, and we were the podcasters for the Southside Edition. You know, we had guys that covered both the Cubs and the Sox. And I got to tell you, man, technical difficulties was a thing for us for a long time, even going into when we moved on from that and did White Sox Daily. And, man, I got to tell you, dude, was not expecting this today, but it keeps you on your toes. So it's fun stuff, man.
For sure.
All right. So, oh, by the way, I see you guys in the chat. I'm not ignoring you. I'm trying to get my head wrapped around some things here.
I'm
obviously,
watch Shameless. I don't know who Carl is, but thank you if that's a compliment.
I, you know, actually, I kind of see it. I don't watch the show, but I do know who Carl is, and yeah, there is a definite resemblance. So we'll get to some of the comments in the chat. But Wolf Larson with the first super chat of the evening tonight says, he's got a hot take. McDougal will grab it. Is that the one you highlighted already, Jake?
Yeah, that's the one I already read.
Ah, gotcha. Well, I want to go ahead and throw it up on the screen anyway. Sorry, I was paying more attention to Adrian and not making him giant on the screen.
I see. Yeah, I just looked it up. I see it. I get it in the hair for sure. I just got a haircut.
So. Thanks for that. But yeah, Toss comes in and he immediately, first thing he says tonight, is it he, she? I've been wanting to do this for a long time with our chatters, and we're actually a little quiet tonight so far. But on all of our shows, absolutely. Yeah. And I'm just curious, as you know, I know a lot of folks use different screen names in different places, and I'm quite curious to know if I have any idea who any of these people are. I know Toss, I've seen Twitter on Twitter under the same moniker, but some of our other guests, I'm wondering if they are, you know, do I know who you are? If we interacted outside of this show, like, it's just, it always makes me wonder, you know, if we interacted on Facebook or Twitter or somewhere else. I really don't know, but you know, if you guys are listening, give us a shout out and let us know who you are. Hit me in the DMs if you don't want the whole world to know. Yeah, that would be cool. So, but anyways, Toss said right out of the gate, sign Austin Hayes. And I don't know about you guys. If they're going to sign an outfielder, that's been the one I've been advocating for. I see Jake giving me the double thumbs down over there. So let's hear it, Jake. What's your take on that one?
It's got to be. I don't know. I mean, like, the free agent outfield class sucks. I mean, that's kind of what it's been like. I mean, for me, it's either Talkman or Grichuk. Hayes's underlying numbers are bad. He's a platoon bat, which, I mean, isn't a horrible idea, but would rather have Grichuk, who was really good 2 years ago, had like an 850 OPS. Yeah, in Arizona, but I don't know. The defense is still there. I would much rather have Grichuk, who, I think they're betting more on a bounce back there than Hayes. There's some interesting trade candidates as well. Like, I think Nupar makes a ton of sense. It was weird. Passan was on 108's podcast, and he started talking about, like, guys who made or teams that were RSNs that weren't going to have their RSNs, and there's some interesting candidates for those nine teams. I think Nupar is a guy that makes sense. The Cardinals could be moving on from him. He had a really good year last year. The underlying numbers are good. The defense is solid in left. I think he's certainly there. And then, like, another guy who I think makes a ton of sense is Brady Singer, who's another inning eater guy from Cincinnati. Obviously, the Sox already had trade talks with Cincinnati, as was reported with the Robert stuff. So, I don't know. I think everybody's in on the signings. Obviously, I think people are pointing towards, hey, we have $10 million to spend. But I don't think it has to be free agents. And I think potentially it makes sense for some of these teams who have RSN issues to trade. And Singer and Nupar make a ton of sense for the Sox. I think Singer's hits like 12.5, but I know Nupar's right on 7 mil. So,
yeah. So, Adrian, I'm going to ask you. Well, go ahead. Say what you got to say, what's on your mind, and then I'll go ahead and ask.
I actually saw, like, to go off what Jacob said, I saw Noah Phelan from Southside Showdown actually tweet something like this, because I don't know if you guys had checked out Chris Getz's interview from the recap with Ryan McGuffey. It was really insightful, like, some really good stuff.
Is that the one that happened just this afternoon?
I believe it was recorded probably before the Sir Anthony Dominguez stuff, because he had said, like, in the podcast I listened today, he said, oh, we're in talks to sign, like, a good reliever. So they might have filmed it, like, what I'm thinking, they might have filmed it and then put it out later. They might have been told to, because he said that, or I don't know. But
he had, makes like, sense.
Yeah, he used, like, really distinct language when he talked about it, and something, like, that I've learned just kind of rating with future Sox and all that kind of stuff is, like, Chris Getz definitely chooses his words very distinctly, like, of what he's going to try to do. I think everybody, like, didn't believe him when he said he was going to reallocate money. Like, when he says he's going to do stuff, he's going to do it. And especially, like, the language that he used, I don't know specifically, I don't have the quote in front of me, but he said in all the avenues that they could add the outfield, so that didn't put away, like, trades or, like, freightance or anything like that. So there's a bunch of different avenues where they can add. Like, I wouldn't really love, like, a Nick Castellanos or something like that, but I know, like, he's getting chopped around, or, like, some of the guys Jacob mentioned too. Like, so I think, like, in particular, like, they might be looking in the trade market, like, just some of the language that he used.
Yeah, I haven't actually had an opportunity to do that. I was quite busy today. And Ian and I actually spent some time here in the studio, just a few minutes this afternoon. And I know he was listening to that. That's about as far as I got. I had been meaning to get into that, but it sounds like it was definitely a good listen, so I'll check that out. I don't know if you guys can see the can you see the question on the screen for you, Adrian?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, for sure. GB for real asks Adrian, what do you know about prospect Kevin Roberts Jr.? He says he's obsessed with him.
Yeah, so I definitely there's some varying opinions for sure, because I believe he's a two sport and he's committed to Florida. So I don't know if he's gonna go. I believe it's football that he's a two sport, and I believe it's not basketball. I don't know a ton. But he's big limbed, like he's kind of like the Luis Robert kind of build, where he's kind of big and athletic, and super projectable power. He's here in Florida, he's committed to Florida. So he'll be like here and around, and he's been in all these tournaments around. So I believe I saw him when, who was Hunter Pence's nephew or son or whoever it is that throws 100 and something. I went to go see him in a perfect game tournament. I believe he was here as well. Just really raw power. I don't know if he's going to be like a draft guy. I believe like his projection was a first round pick going into the year. He's kind of dropped a little bit, but I mean, we'll definitely see. It's super projectable. So if somebody takes a chance, like I could definitely see it for sure.
He's like Wolko in a way. Like he's got like nuts power. Yeah. He's got,
yeah, exit velos are crazy.
Yeah. It's, I mean, there's a lot of swing and miss, but
I was going to say, I know that there's concerns over that there, but
I mean, he's got D1 offers in like four sports, so yeah, he's a nuts athlete. Like that's insane.
Yeah, I'm trying to get what his metrics are, what like his height and weight are, because I don't know for sure. Of course, perfect game is not wanting to work for me. Yeah, he's 6'5", 221, and he's 17 years old. So yeah, definitely projectable to say the least.
Decent frame. I'd tell that. I'd call that a decent frame. Sure. Yeah.
Really quickly, Tosta also says that Rock Chalowski's mom liked his tweet, counting down the days until he plays for the Sox in the future here. What do you guys think of that? You know what? We'll move on to Dominguez here in a little bit. I knew the chat would kind of drive the bus a little bit. I don't want to obviously, you know, our chat has questions, and I don't want to, you know, steer away from that. So I know that I actually retweeted a excuse me. I am still just getting over what I had last week. I know. By the way, I'm going to apologize. I sounded absolutely horrible on last week's show. I was like sucking snot half the show and just terrible. So anybody who listened to that, my apologies. I made myself sicker by listening to myself last week just to go back and check it out. And I was like, oh boy. So, but definitely feeling a lot better. But Joe, oh God, why am I going to – the prospect guy, and he's been on our shows.
Joe Doyle. Like,
thank you. Golly. Still on meds, by the way. Still on
– I want to address something Joe Doyle too. It popped in my head. But yeah. Go ahead with it.
Well, so Joe Doyle put out an article in the last couple of days saying that he believed that Rock was not going to be the first pick in the draft. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on who he said it was or you know, why. And the reason being is because it is my belief. I feel like it is a fair assessment that there's a chance that Rock is not the number one pick if we are going off of historically what happens from the end of one offseason until draft day and, you know, who is typically considered the consensus one or two. And what happens, you know, at draft day and how guys kind of fall, you know, things happen. You never know, like meteors fall from the sky or whatever it is. I don't want to say anything else because I don't want to put the bad juju on anybody. But what do you guys think of the possibility of Rock not being the number one? We'll start with Adrian, our guest tonight.
For sure. Thanks. I appreciate it. I had the tweet in the draft, so I was actually planning on putting it out tomorrow because I don't have access to the whole story, so I don't have all the points that Joe Doyle had put up. But he's great. Like, I definitely enjoy all the stuff he's put out. I should definitely subscribe and read it and all his rankings and all that stuff. But something just from, like, my perception of it, like, when you're comparing a lot of these prospects, at least from, like, listening in the past couple of years, like the SEC performance really, really matters. And so if they have comparable years, like I'm going to tweet probably the exact words tomorrow. But like when, if they have comparable years, they're especially at the top of the draft. If he, if Justin LeBron does comparable to what Rock Chalowski does in the SEC, especially because the Big Ten is a little slept on as a conference, that's going to be compared. And I think that's going to be like the main saying point, like, oh, well, he did this in the SEC. And if he improves, especially if he improves in the SEC, I can definitely see like the comparison just being nonstop.
Jake, any thoughts?
Yeah, the issue that like Rock has is like the draft class is loaded. Like it is stacked. I mean, yeah, I mean, I think everyone wants to bring up Justin LeBron, but like the prep guys are insane. You have Brady Emerson, who's like really good. He'd be number one last year, I think. It's not, is it Jacob Lombard? Yeah, because George is his brother. Mm-hmm. Like Jacob's kind of interesting. And like they also have Drew Burris, who like is insane, but like the athlete's not there. He's an outfielder. LeBron's kind of interesting too, because I think you look at the athleticism that he's got, the athletic profile is better. Yeah, like the hit tool is what needs to change. Like the hit tool has to improve for LeBron. But like he was projected to be the number one overall pick last year until he hit SEC play. Talking a little bit about what Adrian said, like until he hit SEC play, he was going to be the number one guy. Like it's, they're really close. And I think if you're going to take a guy like LeBron could be a center fielder, like you could move him to the outfield if you needed to, just because of obviously the middle infield cluster that this team has. Like he's a more projectable outfielder if you needed to move him. So I don't think LeBron, I mean, I talked about this yesterday on Locked On, but like I don't think it's a guarantee that Rock goes one. Like I put it like 80%, but like I think there's a 20% chance that like someone else is number one in 26.
Yeah, and that's kind of my thought is, you know, right now, if we were to draft today, it's 100% Rock. But the crazy thing is that between now and draft day is there is an entire NCAA baseball season. And, you know, God forbid anything happens where, you know, these guys miss time for whatever reason. You know, sometimes guys just they go into a slump, they fall off. Maybe they have something off field that affects their game. You know, we don't, Tim Anderson, we saw had, some issues early on in his career with a friend, you know, just things can happen, right? It, we could go down the list of things that could, they could change a trajectory really quickly. And, you know, it's just common for that consensus number one to change, but we're also talking about a guy who's been tapped as the greatest prospect profile in like the last 20 years, right? Comparables are you know insane, and you know I've heard Troy Tulowitzki and I've heard Dansby Swanson. I've heard all kinds of different comparables for him, all guys that were more than serviceable players, right? And it's difficult to see him not being in that number one spot as of now, but you know, things can change. And before we move on, I did actually want to highlight not one, but two of Uncle Ted's comments here. First one he says is great. Another right-handed shortstop. And then I'm going to go ahead and put these up back to back because the next one he follows up with dealing with Boris will be fun. So as far as the right-handed shortstop, Ted is, you know, obviously the White Sox and most of baseball the last, you know, I don't know, 5, 6, 8 years have gone towards drafting the athlete over position, it seems. We saw a run of shortstops in the last two drafts, specifically last year's draft really had a run of just shortstop after shortstop after shortstop, all profiling for high athletic value. And I think the thinking is that you can take that athlete and turn them into a position player pretty much anywhere on the diamond. So I'm not really concerned over that. And then, you know what? I'll let you guys take the Boris thing because I know what I want to say about it. But Jake, why don't we go ahead and start with you? Let's talk about dealing with Boris out of a draft.
I mean, yeah, it's not really, I mean, out of the draft, it's not a concern. I think the extension part's an issue. But Hopefully, by the time he has to sign an extension, Jerry Reinsdorf will not be the owner of the Chicago White Sox, and that won't be an issue. I don't know. I would assume Ishbia has never talked to Boris, although I don't know. Like, that might be a connection they have. It wouldn't shock me. But yeah, certainly, like, I get it. Like, Boris sucks. Like, he's really – I shouldn't say sucks. He's a fantastic agent. Like, he's the best agent, and that just sucks. But, like, it's going to be interesting because of the new ownership. Like, there's a new – from what I understand, Reinsdorf and Boris hate each other. Reinsdorf doesn't have a lot of friends in baseball, from what I've heard. So, yeah, I mean, like, they haven't dealt – I don't know how many Boris clients they've dealt with recently. I know Luis was one. I know some of their pitchers were Boris guys.
Which they did actually get an extension done for Luis at one point.
Yeah, like, so it's not totally impossible for them to get an extension done. I mean, I don't know. But you can't avoid it. I would – and I think, like, every top guy goes to Boris anyway, so – I don't know.
Seems that way most of the time. Not every, but I would probably say it's 85 to 90%. Yeah, it's I think the stigma around Boris is one that White Sox fans like to hang on to because of you know, what you hear in the media, what you see in written form. But the reality is it wouldn't be the first time that the White Sox have dealt with Boris. We've had many Boris clients on this team, and quite frankly, it hasn't really been an issue to this point. I think it's more of an issue when it comes down to free agency for the White Sox in dealing with Scott Boras and trying to sign one of his clients, because, you know, there is that rumor of a little bit of strife between Boris and Jerry Reinsdorf in the White Sox front office, you know, for obvious reasons. But the reality is when there's a player that's already in the organization, it's because they've decided to make Boris their agent before draft day comes around. And the White Sox are not going to not draft a guy because of who his agent is, especially when we're talking about top tier, number one overall pick in the draft type players that could change your franchise in a, you know, in a fairly quick way. So, Adrian, did you have any thoughts on Scott Boris and you know, the White Sox?
So I actually went to the winter meetings because they were in Orlando. So I'm down in Florida, actually, in West Palm. So it was a cool trip to meet everybody and stuff like that. So I actually got to go into the Scott Boras media scrum, like, when that was all happening. And then, of course, like, somebody that's not signed with him, like Edwin Diaz and Kyle Schwarber, break at the same time. So there's definitely like some animosity there. Like, just amongst people to try to, like, steal the thunder. He's doing, like, his poetry on the stand and everything, and everybody's got, like, his big crown around him. And, like, that was really cool to, like, be a part of. And then, like, all of a sudden, they're like, oh, my God, Edwin Diaz to the Mets. Oh, my God, Kyle Schwarber. Like, that part was just really cool. And then, like, you can see, like, how that would conflict with Jerry Reinsdorf pulling up, and everybody is having their, like, there was kind of, like, this bar, if that makes sense, where, like, all these executives were having dinner, and you can kind of just walk back and forth. And there's a security guard lock and everything on a balcony, smoking a cigar with, like, his six people. So, like, you can kind of tell how, like, the attention and not attention kind of can get some turmoil in there. And then to the comment above, too, like, listening to Chris Getz talk, he pointed out the Padres with the shortstops and everything. I don't think that position should matter when you're drafting right now, especially, like, one of these guys end up being your center fielder probably. Like, just those comments there. I have a piece coming out tomorrow, I believe. Scott Merkin had to get a little quote. Billy Carlson was shagging in Arizona because they're having a training camp there now. And he's like, hey, man, if worse comes to worse, I'm a center fielder. And, like, I think that's kind of the mindset. Like, if Bonnemer and Antonacci ends up in left, like, I think some of these infielders are going to end up in the outfield. And I don't really think that shift's bad, like, to be honest with you. I think that they're prioritizing athleticism to be able to do that.
Perfect. I mean, you know, I know it's been a thing with Sox fans for a long time, and I figured we would just kind of clear the air, especially since Ted brought it up in the chat. And thank you, obviously, guys, for bringing that up. Obviously, when you guys have questions, we try to answer to the best of our ability. We can only tell you what we know, and none of us are, like, in the front office, right?
Yeah.
Adrian being where he was and being able to see that and eyewitness that definitely helps, because, you know – we can say looks. You can say looks can be deceiving, but they can also be very telling at times as well, too. Right? So, I think it's a fair point when you talk about, you know, where the attention is and where it isn't. It can be quite telling, right? So, sure. Let's move on. Jake has been using a very different tactic for his hot takes and heaters the last month and a half or so here, Jake, 2 months. Yeah, he's had the same hot take almost weekly. He might have missed one or two. And that hot take has been the White Sox signed somebody this week. Yep. Stop, period. Right there. And what happened? The day after we recorded, the very next, or maybe it was 2 days, I don't know. But, and it's happened like this a lot, where it's like within a day or two, something happens. A couple of times it was just a, you know, low-level minor league deal, or, you know, somebody that we're not exactly thrilled about. But there has been a few times. He said it for when Mooney Murakami was picked up from the international market. He said it when we picked up Kay for the rotation. He said it when Sean Newcomb was picked up. And now, this last week, Sir Anthony Dominguez has been said to have been signed by the White Sox. It has not been official yet. I would expect an announcement to come soon, within the next day or two. Probably just hammering out details of paperwork, going over medicals, things of that nature, just to make sure that everything's on the up and up. These things usually take a few days anyway. But let's talk about Sir Anthony Dominguez. Jake, since you were the man with this hot take stuff, I want to hear your thoughts on that trade, or on that signing, and we'll move on to Adrian and see what he thinks about that as well.
Yeah, I think some of the contract stuff, and I don't know this for certain, but I would almost be curious to see if it's not like how much money they want to put in that first year to eat up the 20 mil. I would assume that's maybe part of it if they have another move coming, potentially to figure that out. But Dominguez as a player is fun, man. The walks are going to drive people insane this year. It's going to happen. There's going to be times where the walks become an issue. But like, other than that, it's almost flawless. The stuff is legitimately insane. He misses a ton of bats. The velocity's really good. He's going to be the closer, I would assume. There's been a lot of talk, too, about, like, he's going to get traded at the deadline. I'm not sold that he is. I'm not sold that he isn't. I would put it, you know, we'll see how the first half goes. But certainly I think there's a position where he's here this year and then they trade him next year. But I don't really know what that looks like trade-wise, but not a big deal right now. But, yeah, I mean, huge signing. It really strengthens the bullpen. I put this on Twitter, but, like, Sox last year, when leading heading into the fifth inning, won 69% of their games. The league average was 82. So you take that difference, and they would have been a 71-win team last year with a league average bullpen. If you can get that, and I think you start looking at the arms in there, right? Like, Newcomb's come along. I think he'll be in the bullpen. They've added Chris Murphy. That was, like, way earlier in the offseason, but, like, he does exist. It's part of this team. And now Dominguez, and now you're expecting these jumps. Leisure's had a good last month. Taylor, everybody expects to be fantastic. There's enough pieces here where I think you could have a decent pen, and if you do, I think it'll be a huge driver for the win department. And to add to that quickly, like, Sox again are in the position where there's no reason for them to tank. They can't pick higher than 10th. So you can't tank this year. There's no point of it. Again, the highest you can pick is 10th. I would assume it matters, like, if you're picking 10th, 11th, or 12th, because there's going to be some other teams. But I don't know if they much care about that.
Adrian, same question. What do you think about Dominguez? What are your thoughts on not only the signing, but his past performance and kind of projections and where he stands with the White Sox?
Yeah, I definitely didn't expect them to kind of be in this realm. I guess they were rumored for, like, Pete Fairbanks beginning the offseason. I think there's definitely a better outcome than that. I wrote about it a little bit. If you guys check out the Sir Anthony Dominguez piece, like, I definitely think, especially with the finger stuff and all that kind of stuff, I definitely wanted a harder throwing kind of guy, especially to establish kind of that back end. I didn't necessarily, I would have loved like Gregory Soto or something like that if it was a lefty, because I just said, I thought that's what you needed. But then I ended up signing like Sean Newcomb, who could start and kind of be versatile like that. So I think like I wouldn't necessarily sign a righty, but I definitely think it shifts like the rest of your bullpen to better roles. And I'm hoping like I'm more excited for how it affects the rest of the bullpen more than like for him, if that makes sense. But I'm still like very excited about him. Like I think the walk numbers, like Jacob said, it's going to be really concerning for some people. And like he didn't close a lot of games last year, so it's going to be a new turn. Like I don't know how many closing opportunities he's going to have necessarily. Like the pitch mix is really nice. He added that splitter. I had tweeted out too that Jordan Leisure has been working on a splitter for like two seasons now. And he's been trying to refine it. He's kind of been a two pitch reliever. If he can add that pitch and kind of get with Dominguez and add that splitter, that might be the next step for Leisure as well. And kind of like maybe if Dominguez does get traded, you can kind of pass the torch to Leisure or something like that. You know what I mean? So I'm really excited about it for sure. Like some really good underlying traits. The walk numbers, like I said, are going to be annoying to a lot of people. But I think people, it's definitely better than I think what you thought coming in the offseason.
Yeah, and I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong, guys. I feel like I'm going to apologize because I have been on the cold medicine that has had me a little loopy for a week. But I feel like I saw somewhere that, he didn't maybe not had a lot of opportunities last year, but I feel like there was a stat somewhere that said he was 40 for 60 in save opportunities. Does that sound right to you?
All time, yeah, I believe that sounds right.
Yeah.
I didn't write that or anything like that. Like, I didn't verify that or anything, but I definitely think like he's had a bunch of like he's had a long career as well. So like he had a couple opportunities like with the Phillies and all that kind of stuff when they weren't like as good as they were now. He kind of got a couple opportunities with them as well. So I guess yeah, that can accumulate.
He was really good in high leverage too last year. I mean, you start looking like the high leverage numbers, like they're really good if you ignore the World Series. But yeah, other than that, like. It looked really good last year in high leverage, which obviously you're hoping your closer is good in high leverage.
Yeah.
I don't think we're worried about the big stage as of just yet with the White Sox. You know, when we talk about, ignoring World Series numbers. But I, for one, am actually just happy to know that at least to start the season, the White Sox have what they consider to be their closer for now. At least it sounds that way. Mm-hmm. I particularly am not just a big fan of the closer by committee that we've seen the last, three or four years here. We really haven't had a high leverage back end bullpen arm in probably, 4 years. We go back to like, the Aussie for like one season before the lymphoma kicked his ass. We had a couple of guys who seemed like they were past their prime. Actually turn out to be pretty good for the White Sox, but it's been quite a while since the White Sox have had a high leverage guy in the bullpen at the back end. And, I don't know the numbers, but I know that there's a lot of people that will probably agree with me on this and remember that it just felt like when the White Sox had a lead late in games, and I know you brought up the number from the fifth inning beyond, Jacob, earlier, and being at, 59%?
Yeah.
I feel like even later in games, that number might have been worse. There were times when, you just didn't feel like, games. Yeah, right. The 36 one-run games, and then I know there was a bunch of two-run games in there as well. Those are those games that you hear talked about year after year by, guys on like MLB Network and ESPN and Baseball America writes about it. Like everybody and their brother that has any kind of, baseball knowledge is writing about the fact that you can take those run one ball games. If you turn half of those around, you can change the entire outlook of your season. You can go from basement dweller to possibly wild card or division winner just by doing something like that. Now, I'm not saying that it's going to happen for the White Sox, right? We're talking about a team that, had a 19-game improvement last year. If I could see another 7 to 8, 10 games this year, I think I would be completely happy with that. But I don't know. I think it's just good that we have somebody that for now, until things, progress and maybe it works out, maybe it doesn't for now. Honestly, it could change in camp, right? We still have a full spring training and camp to go through. So it's just nice to have. So,
yeah. Sox have, by the way, I found this stat earlier. They had the worst save percentage. They converted 51%. That's the lowest in the league by a mile.
That's awful.
Yeah. I mean, bad.
I knew it was bad, but 51%.
24 blown saves, which is 10 off the lead. But in terms of like save opportunities and how many saves they actually got, yeah, 51% save percentage. Yeah, also, Uncle Ted brings up Leander Valero. That's another name to watch. Go ahead, Adrian. Sorry.
Jordan Leisure led in saves with 7, I believe. They McGuffey had said that to him during the podcast. Like, yeah, your leader, 7. I'm like, oh, geez, said that to him.
Yeah, it's rough. It's rough.
For sure.
You are not going to. You're not going to go anywhere doing that. Uh-oh. I think we just had a producer check into the studio. So
I see the shout.
He's probably I see what he's doing. He's going to
fixing your
he's going to fix my mistakes here for not being prepared early in the show. So shout out to our very own Ian Eskridge while he works in the background.
Oh. As soon as I salute.
Dude, bye Adrian.
Nice knowing you.
Yeah,
I saluted away, I guess.
Yeah, he probably popped in late and saw that and went, what the F is going on here? So, yeah, I was a little late getting in and cropping him, Ian, so I apologize. He says, fixed. So, thank you for that. There was a comment here. Maybe I'm missing it, but... I will say this. You know, The big thing now is, and we've brought it up a little bit with outfield. It's kind of a position of need right now, right? Kinda. And I keep hearing people talk about we need to get something. I know you guys brought up the fact that, you know, they might go the route of trade more than sign somebody. And I for one am actually good with that, because obviously the free agent market as far as outfielders goes is not one that has a lot of desirables left, at least in the White Sox price range, what we're being told is going to be spent. But as of right now, I asked Jacob this last week. I asked Ian last week also. I wanted to get your thoughts, even though this is probably potentially going to change before opening day, Adrian. But give me your best defensive alignment as the organizational depth stands right now for opening day outfield for the White Sox.
Oof, are we talking about 40-man, or can I do NRIs as well? What are we talking here?
You can absolutely do NRIs.
So defensively, if we're going defensively, Andrew Benintendi's a no, because the Achilles issue and they don't really want him there. I don't know how that's going to work out with Eric Carroll and all that kind of stuff. Which is definitely going to be interesting. Tristan Peters, not that I think he's going to make the team, but I think that just cutting up some of the highlights to post for future stocks, he's a crazy good outfielder. So I'd like wouldn't be surprised if like somebody snags like that fourth outfielder spot and end up being like the best fielder, and that's not Derek Hill. I know they're paying Derek Hill probably the most, but they did trade for Tristan Peters as well. I think Acuna's probably your center fielder, if I had to guess. I know that they, not to go off on a tangent with free agents, but I don't know if you guys saw that Robert Murray had answered my question a little bit about White Sox kind of stuff.
I did see that tweet earlier.
John Hammond confirmed to you that they were in on Harrison Bader. So I don't know if it was like a Sir Anthony Dominguez, Harrison Bader kind of thing. But they were definitely in on both, so I don't know if they just missed out. So, but I do think Acuna is now probably the answer in center field, because I don't think that there are a lot of really good center field options left in free agency. Unless you trade for one, but I don't really know off the top of my head a really good center fielder defensively that you'd get. So, man, this is a tough question.
It's meant to be.
I would say Brooks Baldwin, but I did watch the Nationals replay last night, like one of the last games where Sean Burke had threw like 4.1 for like 10 Ks just to watch a little bit. And then I saw Brooks Baldwin had made the error and that kind of led to a home run and everything. So I don't know if defensively that would necessarily be it. Jarek Kelnick isn't great defensively. Let's see. I would definitely go Acuna center, And then let's see.
Yeah, like give me who do you think, as it is right now, starts for the White Sox opening day.
Yeah, opening day, it's going to be Acuna, Benintendi, Brooks Baldwin, probably. 100%. Like, I would think that's probably locked in unless you make a signing, I would think.
All right, now, and give me your top, like, fourth and fifth outfielders, like bench players
Keep Jared Kelnick, probably Jared Kelnick, but I like Tristan Peters as well. And, like, don't sleep on Brandon Montgomery. I don't think, like, he's going to be up initially. But, like, it could definitely be a Chase Mindroth, Edgar Caro kind of situation where he's coming up super early, like kind of right before that rookie deadline maybe. And then I know you didn't ask, but I think, like, I was kind of just thinking about this when I was charting everything out, trying to get a 40-man together and all that stuff. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe they moved, like, I know they were talking about moving Antonacci maybe to left field. I would personally like, I don't know how it would work out with the rest of the lineup, but maybe an Antonacci in left, Acuna in center, Braden in right by July, maybe. I don't know. But that would be like my most ideal kind of thing if they don't sign anybody. I don't know. I just kind of feel the most optimistic about that outcome right there.
Yeah, they also have like Everson Pereira too, which is
– Oh, Everson Pereira. Oh, my God. I would think center field, if anything. I think he's platooning in center field and right field with Acuna.
Well, there are so many quad A outfielders out there. It's hard not to forget at least one of them.
Well, right. And Jets had pointed out Pereira too, like especially with defense and in the podcast as well. Like when he was talking about Acuna, he was like, yeah, Pereira as well. So like he's in the back of the mind as well. Of course, he wasn't in the back of my mind when I was first saying everything. But yeah, I could definitely expect him being like the fourth. Yeah, it's definitely rough for sure. Yeah.
Rough's an understatement.
It's a question I've been asking specifically for that reason.
I think there's a ton of opportunity. I think that – you know, you can look at the glass half empty or half full, but there's definitely an opportunity for somebody to pop, if that makes sense. Like, they've had a pitcher pop these past couple years with, like, Adrian Hauser and that kind of stuff. They can get one of these NRIs to have pop on the hitting side now with Ryan Fuller and that kind of thing. I think they could definitely do that.
Perfect.
That's, like, and that's – I want to get to that real quick because, like, you start looking
at –
Yeah,
by all means.
You've, what, four upside guys, Acuna, Pereira is a top 100 prospect, former at least. Baldwin, I think there's some hope there. Like, you have so many lottery tickets. Like, with how little depth there is in the Sox organization in the outfield, like, if you can get one of these guys to hit, it would change kind of the outcome of this rebuild because there are so many guys between, I mean, like I said, Pereira, Acuna, Baldwin. I'm missing one, I'm sure. Peters is kind of interesting. They also have like guys, Drew Baker still in the system, I believe. He was acquired last year. There's enough of these guys where like if they can just get one of them to somehow hit, it'd be great because the outfield depth, like, and we've talked about this, like they're going to move the infielders out to the outfield. But if you can get an actual outfielder to hit, that'd be great. So I don't necessarily hate the lottery ticket approach. I mean, listen, it sounds crazy to say, but like it's an improved outfield from last year. Like, you're in a situation where, like, Robert wasn't playing anyway. Like, right field, I mean, I guess you're losing Talkman, which hurts. But, like, you could go still re-sign Talkman. Like, he's still a free agent. I think they still might do that. But I don't know. Like, I think it's got an opportunity to be an improved outfield from last year or so. And the offense was good last year in the second half.
Yeah, it certainly was. I mean, what has been an extremely difficult product to watch the last couple of years, the second half kind of gave a lot of us a little bit of something to look forward to. The youth movement coming up, actually making some things happen, winning some games that, you know, maybe just 2 months, you know, or a month before, you know, going back before the All-Star break, you would think, looking at them on the schedule, you would go, there's no chance that these guys are going to win this series. And then they go out and they either win 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 4 or even sweep a series here and there in the second half. Just kind of gave you the feeling of like that stigma of the old regime where there was a lot of whispers of, you know, in-house fighting and cliques in the clubhouse and guys just not kind of coming together and melding. You felt like that was, you know, probably going away, and guys were kind of pulling together, and you got the feeling that, you know, Will Venable was starting to pull the best out of some of these guys and, you know, changing the culture. So that is always going to be something that I'm going to be keeping my eye on in the first half of this season. Obviously, we're going to be looking at some more of the young guys make their way through the system this year as well, too. So that gives me it gives me hope, right? You know, we talk about all the organizational changes that Chris Getz has kind of implemented since becoming the GM. Additions in personnel, additions in tech, you know, additions in scouting, all these things that we look at, a change in philosophy in the international market. It's all just moves in the right direction, even if the win column doesn't necessarily show that particular movement in the right direction right away, at least not in giant groups of wins, you know what I mean, where we're seeing huge improvements in the win column. Suffice to say, I think that they're moving in the right direction in just about every way, including the product on the field. It's not happening as fast as a lot of people would like it, but the product on the field has become more interesting to watch and actually sit through a game. I found myself changing the channel and turning the game off less often in the second half last year. And I hate to say that as a podcaster who's been doing this for like, you know, 6 or 7 years now, it's especially like Jake and I, who have been covering the major league club, as opposed to guys like Adrian and Elijah and Ian and James, who they have the privilege of being able to coverage the prospects more right now. Cause it is when you consider the prospects over what's been going on with the MLB club, it's been more of a privilege to watch those guys grow and be able to talk about that on a daily basis. So as guys like Jacob and I, who are doing MLB centric shows, it is refreshing to see where we're going. So before we wrap things up here tonight, guys, is there anything that either one of you would like to get off your chest or talk about at all? Adrian, you got anything that you would like to bring up?
Hopefully they sign somebody soon. You know, maybe another outfielder or something like that. I know that Robert Murray had said that he got a maybe on Michael Conforto, and John Heyman had that a week ago or something like that. We actually had that first. Future Sox actually learned that one first a couple weeks ago. If you guys are reading, that was awesome to have like in the story and everything like that. So like, we'll see what happens. I'm hoping there's a little bit more movement. We should get NRIs soon. I would think before Sox Fest. I have a piece coming out tomorrow about some of the NRIs and just some prospect notes and stuff like that. So hopefully the NRIs maybe come out a little bit after that so that people can read the story a little bit.
Yeah, right. But, timing's everything.
Yeah, time to get there. But yeah, so I'm just really excited to get to probably head out to spring training too at some point. I don't really know what date yet. But yeah, thanks, guys, for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Oh, well, stick around because I do have one more thing I want to actually a couple more things I want to get from you. But Jake, really quickly, anything else you wanted to add tonight?
I won't get into this in hot takes or heaters because it's neither, but I would just like to mention that it was around this time last year that we started hearing about Tommy John surgeries, and I would really appreciate it if the number was under 9. That would be absolutely fantastic.
I don't like 9, man. I want to shoot for under 9, man.
Yeah, I would appreciate 0 if we could get there.
I remember tweeting out a list.
Yeah, it was 9.
Was it 9 last year? Was it exactly 9?
Yeah.
It was nine guys that ended up with TJ. It was between the end of the regular season and between opening day, there was nine guys that ended up with Tommy John. Of those had probably, you know, sustained those injuries during in season the year before. I know one or two of them were not like full on tears that they were just trying to get ahead of, like, you know, when you get that impingement or the, you know, throwing arm soreness, and I'll throw up the air quotes on that one, and guys just, you know, bite the bullet and get that done. But yeah, 9 different White Sox pitchers throughout different levels of the organization with Tommy John. So yeah, we're hoping that that number is much lower this year. I'm gonna go ahead and bust the bubble. This was I maybe I should let Jake do it. This was your brainchild last year. Do you want to go ahead and tell the folks about what we have planned and what we're going to ask of Adrian before we get out of here tonight?
Yeah, let's do it. Listen, we have a privilege here of, like, during the season, we're actually on doing this podcast while games are on. So I figured let's do a bingo card, right? Like, let's cross stuff off throughout the season, make a bunch of predictions. Everybody in the chat, we're going to need you. We'll make a bingo card. We'll figure out what we're doing with it. And maybe we'll just sit here during the show and cross stuff out every week, whatever we want to do, see if we can't hit bingo. Maybe we'll black out. Who knows? I think it'd be a fun stuff to keep kind of us interactive with the chat. And Adrian, I want to get you will be the honorary first person to add something to the bingo card that does not exist yet, but will soon.
Oh, well, it's a great honor. First, definitely happy to be a part of it. Definitely want to participate. Hopefully I cheat a little bit. I told you guys I had two before, so I guess I'll dish out my two.
We'll take them both, buddy.
Yeah, I was actually lucky enough to, like a week or so ago, Chuck Garfine, I took my hot take a couple for his hot takes podcast. So that was pretty cool. So I'm going to steal one from there. I don't know if you guys want to argue the number, maybe, if you guys want to do the fiddle with the number, maybe, but I'm going to go 20 plus homers from Miguel Vargas. That's going to be my, I guess, hot take or bingo card kind of thing. I think that has a good chance of happening. I think that there's been a lot of hype. I know there's been some discourse maybe about it, about, just him in general. But there's been a bunch of, like, particularly, like, fantasy baseball sites that have pointed him out just with, like, a lot of the underlying, like, Statcast kind of stuff. And that stuff is super telling, like, just to me, like, when fantasy people get ahead of it. I know, like, Stocks in the Basement say it too. Like, I love listening to their podcast too. They usually say, like, when fantasy guys get in front of stuff, like, you should get in front of stuff as well. They got in front of Tanner McDougal last year, like, just prospect-wise. I'm going to trust some of the fantasy stuff with Miguel Vargas.
Though he had 16 last year, so.
Yeah, it's not a big jump. It's four more, so full season, you know.
All right, and then you said you had a second?
Oh, yeah. So this is a little bit more of my hotter take. I don't know. Again, might have to fiddle around with, like, the terminology of this one. But I kind of got inspired by, again, I was watching the Nationals game where Sean Burkett threw like 4.1. There was an opener in that game, so I didn't want to say like a start, but they have used language to kind of extend Grant Taylor. So I wouldn't say necessarily a start, but maybe an appearance over two innings, whether that's a start or say, hey, they're at the end of the year, there's no more arms, go give us four and go give us 10Ks or something like that. I could definitely see something like that happening. So maybe officially Grant Taylor appearance over two innings is my guess.
Perfect. Yeah. I can dig it.
Awesome.
Right. Thanks on.
Yeah, those are very good. Sorry, I'm writing them down. Also, shout out Uncle Ted. So 85 home runs for Colson and Mune is kind of fun. I kind of like that.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, those are I mean, it's cool if we can hit that number like in season. But those are more like end of season numbers. And I don't get me wrong, like, we can do a whole prediction show here coming up. I usually save that for like within a week or two of starting the season. But I felt like with the bingo cards that, you know, we're kind of looking for stuff that we can cross out along the way, right? So don't get me wrong. Like, if we hit any of those numbers before the season ends, that's awesome. But, and here's the thing, guys. We may figure out a way to turn this into a contest where we've got some giveaways and some prizes and stuff as well, too. So, you know, we'll figure that out as we go. It's kind of been in talks between Jake and I. And, you know, we'll definitely have some things. I know Jake said he's got a bobblehead that he may put out there. I have some future size gear here that I will include, and some sticker packets and mini pendants and things of that nature. We'll try to make it fun as possible for everybody involved. So keep your eye on that. And the only thing I ask is, if you are not following Future Sox already, go ahead and do that, because if you want to be involved in any kind of giveaways, the rules are going to be typical of any other thing. You need to be following us. You need to be following both Jacob and I, your hosts of the show that came up with this. And you can hit us up with official squares that you might want to see on our Twitter pages or at the Future Sox Twitter page / X page. And, you know, we'll pick some of our favorite ones to throw on a bingo card as well.
Yeah.
All right.
I like that a lot. Sorry, I totally cut you off.
No, no, you're good. You're absolutely good. I was just going to say, we're at the hour mark here. I think we should put a bow on it. And we're going to go ahead and give Adrian a chance to give us his first ever hot take or heater to end the show.
Well, one before, does the growl count if from Baseball Talks, if it's against us? Does Schifrin growl if it's against us, you think?
Yeah, so if Robert hits a home run against us, Griffin growls. What is – there's that, I feel like you win. Right? Like you – yeah, it has to be –
that's interesting.
Or like is there anybody else
that – maybe my hot take any growls even if it's against us. I don't know. I guess my hot take would be that Grant Taylor – I think the Grant Taylor thing. I think that Grant Taylor will – get extended a little bit and that eyes towards starting in 2027.
Yeah. Right on.
Yeah. I like that.
And before we go on to Jake's hot taker heater, I did want to point out this Jamie Lewis checking in. He says when Lou Bob goes on the aisle, we won the trade. I was a little critical of that trade, obviously, very loudly about it actually. But it wasn't because I was mad that they traded Robert or that they, you know, got Luis Aniel Acuña. Golly, I cannot talk. And Truman Pauly, it was more of just the way this organization goes about things and spends money. Trust me, I get the math on saving the $2 million buyout on Robert and being able to dump his entire salary. But I do believe the White Sox in general have won that trade kind of already for the simple fact that we did dump that salary and that we did get two controllable players, younger players with some, you know, potential to have some upside, whether or not that happens. But the fact is, you know, Jake mentioned it earlier and he mentioned it on his Locked On, his time on Locked On yesterday that, as far as the money being spent after trading Luis Robert Jr. on Sir Anthony Dominguez, that Sir Anthony Dominguez might actually hold more value for this team than Luis Robert did. Just in the simple fact that we might be able to shore up a lot of those 1 and 2 run games late in the, you know. So, you know, as long as I'll say this, if Dominguez gets somewhere, if he gets more than 7 saves, which was the leader for the White Sox last year, I say it's a win. Okay. How about that?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. And Acuña being like a decent everyday starter would be nice.
Yeah.
Acuña could be like a 2-win player. That'd be great.
I would include also like whoever – I would include Sir Anthony Dominguez in the trade return as well. You got $20 million freed up in that. Like I know you got that. Whoever else you get with that $10 million, hopefully – or whatever that is, I think you should also include that in the trade return. Like that's just my thought.
You almost have to, because if that money's not available, that signing never happens, right? So,
and also whatever they trade Dominguez for in the future, like that's also
exactly. I think I commented on your post. Like I think they get more potentially. Like if he, I know we're going a little long here, but like I think a mediocre Dominguez gets more than a mediocre Robert would. Like you know, if he's hitting 1-something compared to him having a 5 ERA. I think especially with like some of the postseason success he's had, like I think somebody's going to give you a flyer at least on him and pay the contract. You know, I think it's something like that.
100%. 100%.
All right, Jake, why don't you go ahead and give us your hot taker heater? I know what it's going to be already, but go ahead.
It's a drum, right? Yeah, the White Sox signed someone this week. Yeah, my guess.
You didn't give me a chance to not.
I'm going to find a free agent this week. Come on.
I thought it was going to be the name.
No, he always says the White Sox are going to pick somebody up one way or the other.
Oh, I gotcha.
Free agent trade, however it works out. The White Sox are going to bring in somebody.
I like the sound of that. That's awesome reduction.
Hey, listen, we've had the most active offseason in a long time, and Jake has been doing this pretty regularly, so we're going to keep on with it.
Profit, Jake.
The off season is all because of Jacob Thome. You can thank Jacob Thome for Sir Anthony Dominguez. You can thank him for Mooney Munetaki or Mooney Murakami. Munetaka. Golly, you know what?
Just never mind. Mooney.
We got Mooney. All those guys. Sean Newcomb. You know, go down the list. Whatever. All the moves that have been made, they're all thanks to Jacob Thome. So we appreciate you. My hot taker heater this week is just going to be, I've said it before, I'm going to use it again. Chris Getz continues to just do things that we have not seen out of a GM in a long time. And it is going to be my hot take. I say it over and over again. I was a little tough on him early on in his tenure. My knock on him was that he was hired because Jerry Reinsdorf said he was going to be the one that could turn this. He owed it to the fans to turn this thing around quickly. It hasn't happened quickly, but I feel like it's happening in the right way. So my hat's off to Chris Getz once again. And I think we'll call it a night from there, boys. What do you think?
I want to shout out Toss real quick. Willie Abreu. I have mocked him to the Sox, I think, all offseason. It started with Shane Smith, and it's gone from there. It was like Shane Smith, Lenin Sosa, and Corey Lee, I think, was the original, trio I gave up. But if it ends up being, Burke, Caro, Burke, Caro, and Sosa, I think would be fun, too. Anyway, that's all I have to say.
All right, cool. So we're going to go ahead and wrap it up there. As always, our chat, you guys, our chatters are awesome. Shout out to our super chatters. We always appreciate the support. For those of you who cannot support us financially with super chats, if you do like the content, please go ahead and hit that like button, smash it, break your keyboard. Don't break your keyboard. They're expensive. Not really, but you know what I mean. Subscribe. If you're really a fan of the content, go ahead and become a member of our channel here on YouTube. You'll get some exclusives there. Also, our merch is up and available, and you'll find that on our YouTube channel as well as Foursquare. You guys go ahead and check that out. Ian did some legwork on that. He definitely made sure to make the t-shirts on the cheaper side, so they're more affordable. If you guys want to go ahead and give us a little bit of advertisement by wearing a Future Sox t-shirt, we'd much appreciate that as well. Adrian, since you are our guest tonight, why don't you go ahead and tell the folks what you have coming up and where they can find you?
Yeah, I got an article coming out tomorrow. Hopefully we'll get some more stuff out as spring training approaches. At Adrian White Sox on Twitter, Instagram, all that kind of stuff. I'm helping out with the social media side and helping out with the writing stuff, trying to get more involved with everything, trying to be the best source possible we can for the White Sox stuff. So I really appreciate you guys having me.
Kudos to you. It's been a goal of ours for a little bit now. We're a little bit behind, but we've been talking about featuring some of our other members, specifically our bloggers. You have been pumping out some fantastic quality content, and it is much appreciated, as well as your appearance on some of the other shows as well. So we felt like it was time to get you on with us. Thanks for coming in and checking in with us tonight and giving us your opinions on all the subjects that we covered this evening. You can also find Adrian on with Elijah every now and again on the on Elijah and Dylan's podcast with a rotating Jeff Cohen. Triple A Jeff Cohen is the Future Sox Roundup podcast. You can find James and Ian on Sunday nights doing the Future Sox podcast as well. For our written content and anything else, you can find a lot of that on our website at futuresox.net. And as you'll see coming up here shortly, we're going to have some of our rankings come out. We'll do some prospect highlights as well. A lot of those will be behind an exclusive paywall for a $2 monthly Patreon donation. Again, thanks everybody for checking in. My name is Danny Miller at Danny Miller FS on X/Twitter. For my co-host, Jacob Thome, JThome21 on X. We appreciate you guys. We will be back next Wednesday at 8 p.m. Jacob has prior engagements, so
no, that's incorrect. I will be here next week. I told you wrong. We'll talk about it after the show, but I will be here next week. Shocker.
Okay. Well, Jacob will be here next week, but out of left field. We will have another guest then because I've already confirmed it with him. But we will be bringing on editor in chief of Future Sox, the one and only Mr. James Fox will be joining us next week. So you guys come in and check us out then. Until next Wednesday, and as always, we appreciate you guys and go White Sox.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.